Parshat Va'era begins with the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving us the promise of the redemption of leaving Egypt. And the Chumash says, God spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Hashem, I appear to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov as Kel Shakai, but with my name Hashem I did not make myself known to them. And then he says, moreover, I heard the groan of the children of Israel, whom Egypt enslaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded from Kadosh Baruch Hu to tell them, I am Hashem, and I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall rescue you from their service. I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. That's Vitzalti, Vilakachti. And then finally, and shall take you to me for a people. Vigaalti. I shall take to me for a people, and I shall be a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall bring you to the land about which I raised my hand to give to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I shall give it to you as a heritage. I am Hashem. So Moshe spoke according to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moshe because of shortness of breath and hard work. These psukim are the famous Arba, really Chamesh Lashonos Geula, Veltzeiti, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vlakachti, and then ultimately Veveiti, to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And these are, we know, we have the four cups of wine on Lel HaSeder, corresponding to these four languages, the fifth cup of Eliyahu, corresponding to Veveiti. And these are the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael. And we see at the end here that they didn't listen. Mikotzer ruach u'mavodah kasha, from hard work, shortness of breath, they didn't listen. I'd like to focus in on two major questions. Question one, which we'll get to at the end, which we'll begin with, is if Hashem knows that they're not going to listen, right? Hashem knows that they're stressed out. So therefore, v'yesh lavrin harei lifnei Hashem gluyim kol talumot, u'yadam et chilah shebnei Yisrael lo yishmu Moshe. He knew that Klal Yisrael wasn't going to listen to Moshe. It seemingly sees that it was for no purpose. Why are you telling them something that you know they're not going to listen to? You know it's going to have no effect. Why bother telling it to them? That will be our final idea we'll focus in on. The question that we will focus in on in all of our levels in Eretz Hashem is a question that the Eish Tamid points out, and he says in Source 4, why do we have the list of the four languages of Gula? And then at the end it says, and you will know that I am the Lord your God, that is taking you out of the burdens of Egypt. It doesn't say you shall know I am the God of Egypt who has Matzil etchem, who has saved you, Ga'al etchem, who has redeemed you, Lokeach etchem, who takes you. Why is it that it's only the first language of redemption, of Hotzeiti etchem, Hamotzi etchem, Itachat Sivlo Mitzrayim, that is repeated, and it's repeated with the fact that I am the Lord your God, and you shall know that I took you out. So it's a fascinating insight here. If we pay close attention, we have the four languages of Gula, and then it's repeated, the first language again. Know that I am your God who has taken you out of the Sivlot Mitzrayim. Why is that emphasized? What is special about the Sivlot Mitzrayim, the burdens of Egypt, that it's emphasized once again, it's repeated and once again, and not only is it repeated, but repeated with, and you shall know I am God. What is the significance of this? And we'll focus in on Eretz Hashem today. What is this Sivlos Mitzrayim all about? What are these burdens? We'll focus in on that language of the five Lashonos Geula. Before we begin, I'd like to just take an overview look of the four languages of Geula. We'll take a broad strokes, and then we'll focus specifically on the Sivlos Mitzrayim. And in all these different aspects, we'll focus in on the repetition of this pasuk. What we need to have in mind before we begin our study is that whatever happened in Egypt is a binyan av is a model for future Golios as well. So, albeit we are speaking today about Mitzrayim, and we're speaking about what happened there in a very specific way, at the same time, what we have to have at the forefront of our minds is whatever happened then is going to repeat itself once again in the final redemption. So when we're reading the Chumash, we're not only learning about what was, it is preparing us and enabling us to prepare ourselves for the ultimate redemption of what will be. And we need to be learning both the past and present future really simultaneously. So let's take an overview. What are these levels of redemption about? So I'd like to share two ideas. The first is a Rabbi Bernstein Sefer on Chumash. It's a brand new Sefer. And he says these two verses in source number 5, stated by Hashem to Moshe at the beginning of our parsha, contains what are known as the four expressions of redemption. However, as many commentators point out, the depiction does not do full justice to these terms as four expressions of something, which sounds like four ways of saying the same thing. No. In reality, these four terms represent four distinct stages in the redemption from Mitzrayim. And we have to understand that just like there was a period, and historically, there were months sometimes between these periods, right? We know from the time we left Egypt to receiving the Torah, there was a 50-day period. Each stage had its own place, and each stage had its own work. What are these four stages about? So let's share a number of insights. One is Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says that we have to remind ourselves of the way the Torah itself originally described this exile, and then we can appreciate the redemption. Source 6, in Parshat Lech Lecha, Avram is foretold of the exile that his descendants will experience. Hashem said to Avram, you will surely know that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. They will serve them, and they will oppress them for 400 years. So there are three aspects, strangers, servitude, and oppression. Likewise, when the redemption happens, it will be undoing those three levels. V'hotzeiti, I will take you out from the burdens of Mitzrayim, will first release us from the burden of oppression, from the Inuit, in backwards order. V'hitzalti, I'll save you from their servitude. V'ga'alti, I redeem you, refers to the indignity of being aliens in a foreign land with no status, standing, or recognition. And that's why Rav Hirsch points out, in contrast with the first two expressions, which specify from what the people were redeemed, this third expression instead focuses on how, with an outstretched arm with great judgment. This addresses one of the most basic questions regarding the entire exodus from Egypt. Why couldn't Hashem have done this so well, one fell swoop? Why did it take the 10 plagues and a very slow process? And he notes that a crucial goal served by this method in the bracket in 7 is that it restored the prestige of the Jewish people. After having been regarded as people of no worth, more or less from this time that they entered the land, Hashem demonstrated that in his eyes they were of immense value, deserving of great miracles through which their oppressors would be punished. This was the final point of the redemption leading to the fourth stage, which is enabling us to receive the Torah. And this is very important because part of the exile experience, both in Egypt as well as throughout history, is the way the Goyim view the Jews, right? Look at the cartoons depicting the Jews in very, very demeaning type of way. And one of the stages of redemption that will make the shift is the way the Goyim will look at us. Instead of being this people that are made fun of, that are demeaning, rather we will be prestigious in their eyes. Value as a nation, our value as Jews, will be restored to us, and that's one of the real signs that we're moving toward redemption. A little bit different, but also in terms of stage by stage, the Meros Shirim brings the Ramban, V'otzeiti etchem mitachat sivlo Mitzrayim, and the arrow in 8, is first that they will be taken out where they won't have, lo yisbelu od kovid masam, they won't have the oppressive burden. V'itzalti etchem, that they're not going to have them work at all. They're not going to have to pay taxes. They're not going to rule over them. V'ga'alti, then Hashem is going to have justice against them, and ultimately, v'lakachti etchem li la'am, is Har Sinai. All right, the Rechayim notes, v'otzeiti, yakel ol sivlam, first it's going to make it easier, then v'hitzalti, they're not going to have to work. Again, there are stage-by-stage aspects of this. Source 9. Ha'uvda sha'shichru mimsraim lo ba b'maftia el b'shlavim, makbila b'midah rabah gam l'parshat hishtabdu l'mitzrayim. And he says that the fact that there's a step-by-step aspect of redemption parallels the step-by-step aspect of going into slavery. We know it was b'perach. They first said, you know, we'll all work together, we'll pay you a high salary. Slowly but surely, they took away all of these amenities until they made them slaves. So just like we went into servitude with a step-by-step, we come out of servitude step-by-step. And then he says in Source 10, Ein kol safek shelo yipalem Hashem davar, ubertzono yichlek ula liposea gam berega kememra. Obviously, Hashem could have done this, as we mentioned, in one fell swoop. Why did Hashem do this step-by-step? And the answer is, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlos Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim was hakaras hamuna, was knowledge that Hashem is running this world. Kederech sheparo limei berov rishuto shachsharat halvavot l'shem shibud norei doreshet halicha hadragati b'shlavim. Kach gam b'chol tchum shahu imevakshim shanisim u'mashmutam yiklatu heitei v'yitchashvu b'lvavot elu chayvim lehofia b'hadraga. So again, why did Hashem not do this immediately? It's because of the power of being able to recognize the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam takes time. It can't happen overnight. So this is what the Chumash is really telling us. V'hotzeiti, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. Then it repeats. V'hotzeiti, I'll take you out of Sivlos Mitzrayim to know that I am Hashem your God. And know that the whole process is really about, the whole process of taking you out of the oppression of Egypt is for one major purpose. And that purpose is to know that Hashem is ruling us. And know that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to start with taking us out of Sivlos Mitzrayim. Know that that's the first stage. Once you've recognized that the first stage is a recognition that Hashem is intimately involved in our lives, and that's going to be your mindset, so then clearly, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti, you will also have that as the mindset. The first one is emphasized because that's the one that has to get us into the correct perspective to be able to align us with this truth of why did the burden stop? To know that I am God, to know that I take care of you, to know I've listened to your cries. Once we are aware that this is the purpose of stopping the Shibud, and the purpose of everything that's going to follow is that same mindset, we are aligned with that reality, and therefore everything else is going to follow suit. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know, that when the Geula process, when the beginning of the redemption happens, it is so clearly, Ani Hashem, that I am God. Know that throughout the process, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is holding you from beginning to end, through Kriyas Yamsuf, through ultimately, through Mamad Har Sinai, the receiving of the Torah. So, okay, we understand in very general terms that it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time, they say over a year. It happens in step by step. We went into Golos step by step. Hashem takes us out of Golos step by step. There were parts of Inui, Avdos, and Geirus, and Hashem is restoring to us those very things that we've lost. Also, step by step, Hashem works measure for measure, and no, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mindset was to teach us. He is intimately involved in our lives. Once you have that perspective, then you'll be able to follow that as a theme throughout all the events that transpired to the Jews as they left Egypt. With this in mind, my friends, now let us take a look at the idea of Sivlos Mitzrayim. And I want to look at Sivlos Mitzrayim, but with a burden. And I want to do it up Derek Drush. Simply put, Derek Pshat, Sivlos Mitzrayim means the oppressions of Egypt, the burdens of Egypt. I want to look at it, Bederek Drush, on two levels. And again, I can't but emphasize that these two levels are screaming a message for us today. That we too are under Sivlos Mitzrayim, and that we have to be aware of what the Sivlos Mitzrayim is. Because if we want to get out of exile, we have to get past first base. And first base is Sivlos Mitzrayim. What is the Sivlos Mitzrayim about? So, two levels. Let's understand them. Let's try to integrate them. The first, the Rosh Sivrim brings, is the Chidushei Harim. The Chidushei Harim explains, in source number 11a, Mosif HaRam Mamika Binyan HaShlav HaRishon Shel HaGeula. The Torah tells us, V'hotseiti, I will take you, V'hotseiti Etchem Mitachat Sivlos Mitzrayim, literally from the burdens of Egypt. Hu Yomer. Shashlav HaRishon B'derech HaLagula, the Aaron 11a, Hini Lahafsik Lispol at Mitzrayim. Step number one of redemption is we have to stop tolerating Egypt. Shim lo kein lo tuchel gula l'tzei de l'poa. This is not just about Hashem taking us out of the oppression that we're no longer slaves and we're no longer paying taxes. That's true. We know that Torah is understood on many levels. This is about us extricating ourselves, allowing ourselves to be extricated. We need to take ourselves out of Sivlos Mitzrayim, of tolerating the Egyptians. In Yisrael, hinam sovlanim biyachasam legalut v'lishibud Mitzrayim, lo yazru and yisim v'aniflo, saying memshichu lishayar sham. You can have all the miracles in the world. If they're happy and satisfied living there, the miracles will not have any effect, will not have much effect to get them moving, to move beyond. The people first have to want to leave Egypt. They first have to detach themselves from Golos. And then you can have all the great miracles that will then take them al kanfei nisharim, on eagle's wings, to redemption. But if they say, you know, we like our swimming pools, we like our four cars, we like our big houses, we like our job, we like our culture, we like everything about Golos, we don't want to leave. So then you have all these great miracles, and people say, I'm not interested, I want to stay right where I am. And this is the lesson for us to understand. L'fichas rechim ayu Yisrael t'chila li na'er mitzavlunatam klapei gzeiros paro. They have to be able to say, we can't stand what's going on in Egypt. Ulam yish biyun ze omek rav yoter. Galu Mitzrayim higafina gam ubikar mibchina ruchanit. Ha'ishtalut ha'chitzonit shal Mitzrayim Mitzrayim hayta gilui chitzonit librachashur ha'ruchanit shipachta bimakei nifshoteyim. What does it mean to tolerate Egypt? It's not just that they liked living there, even as slaves, and we'll talk about this in a minute, the Egyptian culture had become so saturated in them that they didn't want to leave it. Kevan shemibchina ruchanit shak'u Yisrael betobol tumat Mitzrayim, lefichach mesugalim hayu haMitzrayim lishlok gam benafshoteihem. Because they were so immersed in the culture of the tumat Mitzrayim, the Egyptians were able to have a control of them. And that's why when we have the double language in the squiggly in 11a, of pakod pakatati etchem, and I will surely redeem you, the double language is, there is a pakita, there is going to be a redemption, an extrication on the physical level. Umina hitardaruta ruchanit Yisrael niklu eleb osasha. As well as pakadeti, I'm going to also take you out from the severe spiritual demise that you are in as well. And as the Sfas Emes adds here, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai v'ech yishmeni paro, The Jewish people didn't despise being slaves, and they're able to handle the Egyptians. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how am I going to be able to get them out? And that's why the first step is v'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, that you can't bear the Egyptians anymore. You have to get out of here. The Or Gedaliahu, Rav Gedaliah Shur Zatzel, quotes from the Ishbit survey, famous idea. When Chazal say in Source 12, it's a Mechilta, Ein Eved Yachol Livrocho Mitzrayim, that no slave ever ran away from Egypt. What does that mean? Hainu Shavadim Mitzrayim Hayu Ma'od Musharim. Albeit they beat them up and it was difficult, but they were happy. V'lo Ratzu B'chlal Lozov Mitzrayim. V'ein Eved Yachol Livrocho Chaya Mechamat Ha Propaganda Shaya B'Mitzrayim Shakol Tov Ein Tov L'malu Mizeh. There was the Egyptian propaganda that it's better to be slave in Egypt than to be free somewhere else. V'gam b'nei Yisrael layu b'matzav kaseh. The Jewish people believe that. Egypt is a very beautiful country, very fertile country, and they don't want to leave, so we're slaves, but better be slaves here than somewhere else. V'tchilat ha'gulayta shelo yachlu od lisbol ha'mitzrim. The first step is that we don't want to live here. The Gula Mitzrayim is Gula's Olam. V'af shacharza you od galiot. Even though in the future there will be other times we're going to be subservient, but we were taken out of this Egypt experience was the mindset shelo yisbalu b'nei Yisrael derchei agolim v'lo yirtzu lelecha b'drecheihem, that we'll never want to be like the nations of the world. And this indeed, the Sfarim say, is when we say every morning, Shelo Asani Aved, thank you Hashem for not making me a slave, thank you Hashem for not enslaving me to the culture around me, right after Shelo Asani Goy, that I am free to make the choices of what a Jew is all about, and that I'm not in this world of slavery to my passions and slavery to the culture around me, that everyone has the latest and greatest. I also have to have the latest and greatest. And that, no, I can say I'm not going to be, and I'm going to be able to cut myself off from this social media or from this WhatsApp group. I have free choice, and I have the ability to disconnect to whatever level. I don't need to be sucked in to because everyone is, and I need to be reached, and I need to be, there are many ways to be reached in today's day and age. You're right, it makes it much easier. Every person, where they're at, where they're holding, has to ask themselves, to what degree have I got sucked in, that I'm so immersed in this culture, I'm so immersed in the social media, that I've lost the sense of myself, of my dignity, and of my time. The Shvila Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, develops this idea even further. And let's take a look at his writings in source number 14. He brings down the Sfasemes, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. The implication of the term burden, they could not tolerate the Tumah of Mitzrayim anymore. The subsequent Geula stem from this fact. And he notes that the word sivlot is related to the infinitive lispol, which means to tolerate. That's the first step. You can't tolerate this anymore. Embellishing on this thought, the Sfasemes adds, it's advisable for every Jew to accustom himself to truly despise that which is evil. This practice constitutes the beginning of the Geula. And we know that this was the real challenge. The real challenge was that Klai Yisrael became so immersed in the culture of the Egyptians that we went down to the 49th level of Tumah, source 15, that we were almost going to be lost there. And we had to be taken out. We had to be, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I see you cannot withstand and tolerate the profane and pure practice of the Egyptians any longer. For this reason, you'll be rescued. You will not descend to the 50th level of Tumah. Let's take this a little bit further, a little bit deeper, my friends. He says in source number 16, the Sfasemes, based on the Zohar Kadosh, notes, out of concern that Israel would intermingle and assimilate with the other nations in Golos, Hashem took them to Mitzrayim, where the hatred of Yisrael was great. This was to their benefit to prevent their assimilation. The Sfat Emet adds a tremendous chiddush. In truth, the Egyptians wanted to befriend Yisrael to draw them near, so they would assimilate with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever intervened, he caused them to hate Yisrael. He presents explicit proof of this in the words of David HaMelech. He turned their hearts to hate his nation, to plot against his servants. Thus we see that the Egyptians actually wanted to befriend Klal Yisrael. However, Hashem turned their hearts. And therefore, my friends, this is the idea that it began with Perach. It began with initially power on the Egyptians, enticed Yisrael to work with a gentle mouth. They encouraged them. They offered them good pay. However, Hashem turned their hearts to cause them to hate Yisrael. Then the enslavement changed into crushing labor, so that Yisrael would not assimilate with them. And this is the paradigm that we see over and over again. The Midrash teaches us that when it says, Vayakam Melech Hadash Asher Lo Yadat Yosef in 17, that when Yosef HaTzadik passed away, Bnei Yisrael neglected the mitzvah Bris Milah. They declared they wanted to be like the Egyptians. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to recircumcise everyone at the time of the Exodus, Korban Pesach. Because of this declaration and change of heart, Hashem turned the Egyptians' love for them into hatred. And that's what we have to understand. First, the Jews and the Beis HaLevi goes through this in depth. They wanted to went to their circuses, they went to their parties, they wanted to become like them completely. And that's why they didn't do Bris Milah, because that would separate them from them. And when Hashem saw this, he says, oh no, if they assimilate completely, there's going to be no Jews left. So we learn from this Midrash that the Egyptians did indeed love Israel. However, when they began to go astray, Hashem transformed their love into hatred. Thus we learn a crucial lesson. In Golos, it's imperative that Jews distance themselves from the laws and practices of the Goyim. Then they're powerless to do us any harm. If, however, we begin to get close to them and adapt their customs and practices, God forbid, then Hashem arouses in the Goyim an enormous hatred of Israel to keep us apart, and we've seen this over and over again playing itself out. So often throughout history, the Haskalah, let's become like them. Let's go to the universities, the gymnasiums, let's join with them, let's become like them, and they'll love us. And we know over and over again, when that happens, that's when they begin to hate us even more. And that's the bracha from Hashem. Because if they would love us, then we would completely assimilate. By hating us, we have a reminder over and over again that you're Jewish. And if you don't remember you're Jewish, the Germans are going to remind you that you're Jewish. Now this enlightens us to the amazing connection between the first two expressions of the Gula. First, V'Yitzhalti, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. And then, first V'Yitzhalti, and then V'Yitzhalti, I shall rescue you from their servitude. First, Hashem brought about a spiritual Gula. Israel could no longer tolerate the tomb of Mitzrayim, causing them to distance themselves from the Egyptians. First, Hashem had to make sure that we wanted to have nothing to do with the Egyptians, that we want to have nothing to do with their culture. And then, as a result, the second aspect of Gula came to pass. They were rescued from the extreme difficult labor that had been imposed on them for getting too close to the Egyptians. So the process was the following. We got too close to them. We wanted to become like them. We tolerated the Egyptians. We wanted to be part and parcel of what their land was all about. When Hashem saw this, he put on tremendous amount of oppression. And even there, we see that they still wanted to be attached to Egypt. As we see over and over again, the Jews saying, you know, let's go back to Egypt. Four-fifths died because they wanted to stay in Egypt. They were really entrenched in the Egyptian culture even after all of this hatred and all of this servitude. So the first step is, Hashem says, you have to separate yourself from the culture. You have to be able to say you are different from the Egyptians. Once you're able to do that, then I can stop the oppression. The oppression is here for you to be separate. Once you separate yourself, so then there's no need for oppression. First, the whole safety. Take yourself out of the oppression. Take yourself out of tolerating. Once you've taken yourself out, then there's no need to have that serious oppression of hard labor to remind you that you are different from them and that you shouldn't be like them. That's Voteiti Vitalti. We now have achieved a greater understanding of the relationship. They represent three distinct stages of separation. The first step, I shall take you from under the burden of Egypt. Hashem liberated Israel from their spiritual enslavement by making the Tumah of Mitzrayim intolerable to them. This prepared them for the second stage. I will rescue you from their servitude. They were liberated from the physical enslavement because it was no longer necessary to have the Egyptians subject them to crushing labor in order to distance them from the Egyptian. After liberating Israel from Mitzrayim spiritually and physically, there was no longer any reason for them to remain in the Gullus. The time had arrived for the Gula from Mitzrayim, and that is Hashem coming with an outstretched arm to take them out. And this is the dynamics here. That first there has to be this distaste and this real, like, ugh, why would we want to be like them? Why would we want to sing their songs? Why would we want to enjoy their culture? It is so low and so the antithesis of what a Yid is about. Once we're able to feel this distaste, once we're able to say, ugh, This just rubs me the wrong way, then we're able to move forward. But as long as we, you know, take the music and just put it to Jewish words and think, oh, it's Jewish music, and we enjoy it because the words are Jewish, but the music and the beats are from that culture, we're still entrenched. We have to make a separation. We have to be able to say, is this really who and what we are? And unless we're able to do this, we're still under this oppression of Egypt. And we know that the more that we become like them, the more Hashem has to tap us on the shoulder. And we see this in America today, that we have became very, very comfortable in America, perhaps too comfortable. And most recently, it's reared its head, this anti-Semitism, whether in Pittsburgh, whether in California, whether in Muncie, over and over again. The amount in New York in the last few months of the anti-Semitic acts has just risen beyond what it's been in the last number of years. These are the wake-up calls. You've gotten too comfortable. You have to be able to make this separation between the two. Now, based on what we've learned, it's now quite clear in 21 why Kadosh Baruch Hu repeated the fact that he would take Israel out from the burdens of Mitzrayim. Recall that he opens by saying, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. After mentioning the four expressions of Gula, he concludes, and you shall know that I am Hashem, your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. He wanted to teach us a crucial lesson pertinent to all the Gullios, to all the exiles. The Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim in the merit of total, absolute separation from the impurity, the Tumah of Mitzrayim, and their practices. The same holds true in every generation. It is imperative that we separate ourselves from the practice of the Goyim. If we do so, we'll merit the Geula swiftly in our times. Amen, v'amen. So why is the first one repeated? Our original question. And the answer, as we see, it's straightforward. That this is the key of redemption. As long as we buy into the propaganda, as long as we buy into the culture, as long as we are one with them, it's very hard to extricate ourselves. It's very hard to see the writing on the wall. You know, people ask me when I visit America, are people seeing the writing on the wall that people should come? And Baruch Hashem, a lot of people have moved to Eretz Israel since Corona in droves. And I say, you know what? When you're so entrenched, it's hard to see the writing on the wall. And that's what the Chumash is teaching us. Ad Hayom Hazeh. When you're so entrenched in the American culture, in everything that it has, so Hashem could do nisim v'niflos, and we'll be blind to seeing them. And we're so connected. It's repeated again that this is the first step, taking us out of civilized Mitzrayim. Just to take this first level, right, of the two levels, one step deeper, I'd like to take a look at peace in the Siva Shalom. The Siva Shalom says, in the Arrow 22, the Shlomo Rebbe sets out, that Kigeriyas Arachav will be strangers in a land, Elad Gashab Eretz Lahem, in a land that's not ours, she Eretz Asher Einat Lahem, Einamat Tima Avuram Beyotam Menugedet b'tachlit l'mavutam. What does it mean, a land not theirs? It's not just the physical land that's not theirs. It's not, you know, it's outside of Israel. It's much deeper than that. It's the land that's the antithesis of the values of what the Jews are about. Can't Yisrael hei mekora kedusha. The Jewish people are the source of holiness. And Mitzrayim, v'ilu Mitzrayim hi erva saris mekora tuma vazuma v'areu eretz olahem. Egypt was the source of impurity. That's the land, not the earth. Not just a physical passport different, right? It's rather something much different, deeper. It's that Egypt represented the antithesis. It represented the tumah, the impurity, which was the antithesis of a Klal Yisrael about. Valzemu meset bevavadum veinuotam bet mine yisurim. There were two types of affliction. Vavadum hainu ayisurim hagashmim shesavlu Yisrael sham. The first type is, I'm going to make you work hard, is the physical burdens, the avodat perech. Vavadot hakashot biyoter, working physically hard. Achen kolzman shesarek yisurei guf. But even if there's physical burdens, as long as they feel connected to Hashem, you can handle anything. That was the problem. It wasn't only Vavadum that they enslaved us, but it was the Inuotam. You know what the greatest Inui is? To live in a place which is against your values. That's a place that's just screaming out impurity. A place that's screaming out Zuama, screaming out the decadence of this world. That Shimakura Zuma Shalaola, Kemai Ferret Mitzrayim Lo Tazum. Mitzrayim was known as the paradigm of don't acting in their ways. It's the most despicable type of ways. When the Jewish people are put in such a place, that was beyond. Well, that was the pain. That was the inui. That was the affliction. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out, he takes us out of both the physical shibud as well as the inui. Ki'ubar b'me'imo, like an infant taken out of its mother. Goy, mikarev goy. And that's why from then on, albeit we're going to be enslaved over history in other areas, and other nationalities and locales, but we'll always be Avdei Hashem. Once we got the Torah, we'll be able to light candles in Auschwitz. We'll be able to bake matzahs in Treblinka. Once we got out, we're always free. We have that ability to extricate ourselves. And that's why in 25 is Inyan Sivlus Mitzrayim, Torah Matzrayim Mitzrayim, Shaita Galus HaKasha Biyoter, Shaita Hain Bigashvis Hain Biruchnias. This was the hardest, both physically as well as spiritually. Shein Mishubadim Ligamri Limitsraim, we were totally in Egypt, in its clutches. And that's why Kikade Lo Siat Yisrael Vlachat Samatuma Mitzrayim. In order to get us out of Mitzrayim, we needed the Koach Shalani Hashem Lokechem. Anivlo Malach Anihu, Anivlo Saraf Anihu Vlo Acher. In order to get us out of those clutches, right? Keep in mind we didn't have Torah then. We needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the second pasuk says, "Ani v'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem, shani ha'lokim shelachem v'atem dvukim bi." You are connected to me, and I will be able to take you out of the sivlos Mitzrayim, the oppressions of Egypt. I'll be able to take you out from that terrible oppression of the spiritual aspect of Egypt. That albeit you're going to be in other countries, you're not going to be in that same force of Tumah, that you recognize that there's Torah. And that's really our challenge. Our challenge is, now that we're in other cultures, we have to use that Torah mentality, the Torah values, to give us that barometer that what we're experiencing is against Torah values. We didn't have that in Egypt. Egypt was so difficult because we didn't know. We didn't have that help of the Torah to give us guidelines and what is appropriate, what is not. Should I dress this way? Should I speak this way? Should I listen to this? Should I look at this? There was nothing that was holding us. Now we have the Torah. Now that we're taken out, we have a guidebook of what is appropriate, what is not. And that is why he says, The only term that is repeated is, I will take you out, Mitzivlos Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokechem. Once we are taken out of the Sivlos Mitzrayim, that will be it for all generations. And hence, throughout the entire Chumash and the way we speak, we never speak about Gula Mitzrayim or Hatzalat Mitzrayim. We speak about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Hamotzi etchem, because Yitziat Mitzrayim is really the Iker Ageula Mitzrayim, that Hashem took us out of Tumat Mitzrayim. Why is this language repeated? Because this is the essence, as we've said over and over again today, this is the essence of leaving Egypt. It's being able, not just the physical burdens of working, Vitzalti, I'll take you out from the Shibud, from the hard work. That's great. But first and foremost, you can't tolerate Egypt. First and foremost, I have to take you out spiritually. And that took the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's our model of remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim every day. We have to remember how Hashem took us out of Egypt, that we should never be in that situation ever again, because now we have Hashem holding hand through the Torah, of knowing what's correct and what's not correct, and that gives us the buffer between us and the goyim. And that's why we know, you know, I tell my students who go out into the working world, and Rabbi Ari Wasserman has two excellent books, one for men, one for women, about halachos and hanhagos in the workplace, which are really essential to read if someone's going out into the secular workplace. It covers really all the halachos and the mindset of working in a secular workplace, and knowing that there are distinctions that have to be made, and there has to be clear, we are not like them, and we'll be able to say that there are certain things that I will not do, and I stand up for my religion with pride, and be able to hold on to that pride is what's crucial. The difference between us and the goyim has to be clear. So my friends, that's idea number one for today. Of the four languages of Geula, the first language is parallel to the first cup of the wine of Kiddush. This is it, the Kiddushanu. We have Kedusha, we have holiness, and we have to live our lives of holiness. And living our lives of holiness means that I'm different than the Goyim, and that I can't get into that mindset of let me be like them, let me talk like them, let me act like them. No. First and foremost, we have to take ourselves out of Sivlos Mitzrayim, of tolerating this culture and say it's not so bad. You know, when we speak this way, we're entrenched in it. We're entrenched in that propaganda. We have to have Hashem made us different than all the other nations. The Romantanum we call Alashonos, as we say in Kiddush. Hashem elevated us from all the other languages. We are different. And we have to walk around with that difference with pride. And that's going to be the first step in getting out of our Mitzrayim, of our narrow straits, wherever we are. Again, universally as well as individually. The second idea is another way of looking at this homiletically. What is the second, another aspect that stops us from redemption? So the first is I tolerate the culture of the nations, and I'm become part of them. The second, which is very different, is I tolerate, well, let's take a look, Rav Shvadron, 26. He says, there were two aspects to the redemption, gulatenu v'apadut nafshenu, that there is the physical, and then there's the spiritual. And v'amarnu derech drush l'va'er mehem arba dargos shagalut haruchani. There are four levels of the spiritual redemption. We're just going to do the first right now. Ha'dagar rishana v'otzeit etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. What does sivlot Mitzrayim mean in a spiritual sense? Sivlot meshon savlanos. Even though savlanos, having patience, is a very good quality, patience with your friend, patience with a lot of things in life, aval l'gabei ruchnius 27 in the arrow, in spiritual matters, sham ha-savlanus eno mala elamachla. It's not positive, it's very negative. Sham ha-savlanus imachala kasha chaydak elim u'musukan beruach adam. It's really a something that affects us in a very negative way, and it is what causes us not to be able to reach redemption. What is this about? So he says in 30, Kasher shak'anu b'toch tumat Mitzrayim, ha'idar d'rod ha'ruchani matzah mishkan noach b'lev ha'am. As we're living in the Tumah of Mitzrayim, as we're living in, as we just spoke about, that culture that surrounds us, aside from being able to tolerate the culture around us, there is another aspect that happens. Ubnei Yisrael hitraglu l'matzav nara bo hei ma'abdim ruchniyoteim v'nisharim adishim. Another aspect of tolerating the culture is we begin to live a watered-down Judaism. We begin to tolerate not pushing ourselves religiously. It's okay, look around us. You know, there's a chilled society. We also have to be chilled. And we run into a place of apathy. And that's why the first step is Ve'otzeiti etchem mitachat sivlos Mitzrayim. The first aspect has to be Machlas ha'savlanos. We have to stop being sovel. We have to stop being able to hold this apathy, this feeling of, so I'm not growing as much as I should. No, that is part of what happens when we become so immersed in this culture that it then impacts ourselves, that we're not drawn to our own Yiddishkeit in the same way that's going to propel us to move further. Ukefi shachein nitan lerot b'amshech. Shachein yirpu b'nei shom echoli asavlados. This is what we see that happened. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to work on us to be able to see Kriyas Yamsov, Mamad Har Sinai. Harei shalo yu adishim l'ma shira'u el yifnu et hargashut v'italu. And they change. V'yaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. Part of the redemption process is to move us from this level of like glazed eyes that nothing impacts us into, wow, Torah, mitzvos, ashreinu, this is amazing, this is wonderful. And he brings a very famous, and there are many different variations of this mashal, the Chavetz Chaim. Part of it's found at 31. A fellow calls up another fellow, and a poor person calls up a rich person and says, hello, how are you? Great. He says, you know what? I'm marrying off a child. I need 300 rubles. Are you able to help me? So the guy says, sure, come to my office at 1 o'clock and I'll give you the money. 1 o'clock comes and goes and he isn't there. The next morning he calls up and he says, hi, how are you? I'm marrying off my daughter. I need 300 rubles. He says, no problem. Come to my office at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock comes and goes and he's not there. And this repeats itself every single day where he thinks he's Meshuggah. Does he really have this daughter? Does he really need this money? And he says in the arrow 31, Kach omer Chavetz Chaim nirimanu v'ed haKnesset. This is how we look. Hinei naman ha'yudi b'sheva boker. A person comes to shul in the morning, and he starts davening, Ava Rabba. What does he ask? He says, V'tilam deim chukei chaim. Allow me to learn the everlasting laws. And not only that, came to Chanenu Tilam Deinu, and I want Avinu Avarachaman in 32, Gival, Zoeke Yudi, Avarachaman, do you know what I want? Vitein Billy Beinu, what do I want? Lahavinu Lahaskil, to be able to understand, to be able to have insight, Lishmo, Lumo, Lame, to learn, to be able to teach, Lishmo, Velasos, Lakaim, to do all of the words of Hashem, and Kol Divrei Samutor Secha Ba'ava, and I want to do all the will of Hashem with love. Be'ava, not as if I'm forced. No, in the arrow, Rash Gadol Nosem Berakia, Gidei Tchina Shekazo. Somebody to think of that when we say Ava Rabba. There is a commotion in heaven. Wow, Malachim, these merciful Malachim, say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at what this Jew wants. This Jew wants to have wisdom to be able to learn Torah. So you know what the Malachim start to do? They start to get ready bucketfuls of Siyata Dishmaya to put on this person, Lahavim, Lahaskir, Lishmoa, to be able to listen to his tefillah. And then they're waiting for davening to be over, and they're just going to pour on this person these bucketfuls of so much Siyata Dishmaya. And the guy leaves shul, or the woman ends davening. And we go back to our newspaper, we go back to our phone, we go back into our car to our work. Au revoir. We don't think about Tamberly Benu, we don't think about Ava Rabba, we think about going to the gym, the manicure, the work, the children, the potato kugel, the laundry, whatever it is. But the Avas Hashem, gone. And then guess what happens? The next day we go back and we say the same thing. And the bucket fills our back. And then the same thing. And then we have to ask ourselves, so what are we asking for? And this is the trap we fall into. Do we really listen to what we say? Do we really want to have this connection with Ribbono Shel Olam? Or have we reached a certain level of, this is who I am, this is where I'm at, and I'm perfectly happy with this is at. 33, don't we look like crazy people? We look like that same person who's asking for money every single day. We got through it through savlanos. Going through life, one day after another, we turn into adish v'savlan beruchnius. We daven for the same things. And yet what? And we're not moved by it. The first stage of redemption, and this is what we have to work on, is that we redeem ourselves from this level of complacency, that we actually want this relationship. We actually want to move further. We have done this piece many, many times. Rabbi Friend will just highlight it again because we've done it so many times. Change is a different thing. 34, listen to your messages. If you ask most American rabbis, even the best of the congregation, the most serious problem they face with the congregation, they will tell you, getting people to accept changes. After all, they learned Daf Yomi, some of the children find at schools, come to shul 3 times a day. What more could you possibly want from them? They just want to be left alone. We're guilty of Shalom Yali, ki b'shridlus li b'yelech, loosely translated means, I'm fine, leave me alone. The Chazon Ish calls someone who displays this attitude a benoni b'shita, person who deliberately chooses to be mediocre as a matter of principle. But life is not like that. There's no standing still in life, not when it comes to ruchnius. And that is why we know that that life is actually like an escalator, a down escalator. Our mission in life is to get to the top. If we walk up slowly, we'll be carried down by the motion of the escalator. If we walk up quickly, we'll stay in more or less the same place. If we make a tremendous effort to run up, we can overcome the downward motion and reach the top. The Medrash says, whenever an episode begins, with the word Vayeshev, and he says it's a sign of foreboding. Why is this? The Maharal explains that sitting in one place invites calamity. Jews weren't made to sit still. A Jew has to be constantly struggling, constantly growing, constantly battling. Life is about change. And that's our challenge. We have to both extricate ourselves from the culture that draws us down and from the part of us that is like, no big deal, life goes on. No, we have to realize that we have to take ourselves, and hence it's repeated, Mitachat Sivlo Mitzrayim, that's the first stage of our spiritual redemption, where we have to ask ourselves, what changes can I make? And where can I move further? And that's really where the avoda, where the work is. How do we access this level? How do we work on this work? So that's our final page, the Ziv HaChochma. Rav Yekutiel Weiss, the Mashkiach of Tells of Riverdale in Source 38, where we go back to our original question. Why did Hashem tell them this when they're not even going to listen? And the answer is the following. Ubir sasemes shigalui v'yadua lifnei Hashem. Shafilu im ba'osa shoh lo latu b'nei so daitam lishmo ma shamar la'am Moshe. Because Baruch Hu knew that even if that moment they weren't going to listen, aval b'tocham nasa lahem roshem midvarim elu. It made an impression on them. And Hashem understood that the roshem k'sat sh'nichnas l'libam afilu b'shiur sh'heim atzvam lo yadu sh'yesh b'hem. It made an impact even if they themselves weren't aware of it. And over time, haba eit sh'ba yiyel ivnei Yisrael yishuv hadad v'rochav lev l'ponei b'ma sh'shamu v'az yafchinu v'ma sh'ala Moshe v'italu ma'dvarim. They may not be able to hear it right now, but they'll take it in, And at the right time, when they are able to hear it, it's going to make an impression. The Kutzker Rebbe says the same thing about why do we put these words of Shema on our heart, not in our heart. And the answer is the same reason. Because sometimes things just don't enter our heart. We hear things over and over again, and we feel like it, you know, bounces right off of us. No, that even though it seems like it bounces right off of us, there's some part of it that stays on top of our heart. And then when we have this moment of inspiration, then all of that which we heard enters into our heart and it makes an impression. This is similar, he says, to the rack of Rabbi Akiva. The rack of Rabbi Akiva, which drop made the difference? The answer is each and every drop made the difference. And that's what we need to understand. And the Ziv HaChochma goes on to say, and this is very important, we can't think that things are going to change overnight. Umata Navin Kama Iveli, quotes Rav Chaskel Levenstein, the end of 39, Hi Shavateinu, how foolish is our thoughts that in one time we think we can come Chachamim, Ubala Yirat Shamayim. No, the generation of the Dor HaMadbar took 40 years. We have to realize that it takes a while to become who we are going to become. And we go through in 40 so many different parts of our lives, some easier, some harder, some more challenging. The key in our lives is a desire to move forward. You're right, you may not move forward, but when you have that desire, when you listen to Shirim and you say, ah, I would like to be on that level. Wow, let me think about even thinking about contemplating of being on that level. Let me just start with one drop of water towards that level. Okay, so I can't be a Rebbetzin Machlis having all these people in my house. But you know what I can do? I can maybe make a kugel for one family once a month and give it to a family or a challah that a family needs. That I can do. I'm baking anyway, so I'll make an extra one. That's the drip-drop method, where I've moved out of that level of complacency. I may not reach the top overnight, but I'm moving toward it. I have a desire for it. How do we get out of Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us an educational lesson by telling us these Arba Lashonos HaGeula when we weren't ready to hear it. No, there is a redemptive process. No, it starts with extricating yourself. Know that it moves to V'itzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, V'heveti. There's step after step. Ah, you can't hear it, that's okay. But I want you to know that one day when you are able to hear it, you have a vision of where you can go, and that's going to propel you forward. And that's really our challenge. Our challenge is when we listen to these shiurim, not just say, oh, that was nice, but to then, as the Rav Nachman Breslov says, turn your Torah into tefillah. David, well, what, Hashem, help me be able to at least think about, desire, move toward this level of connection, this level of moving beyond where I'm at now, to have a vision, to be able to bring that drip-drop method. Along with a story, and then we'll summarize. I forgot which Bali Musar was, which great rabbi, the last 200 years, who was found I think it was on his vacation, he was found, you know, they used to go to these resorts. He was found speaking to an elderly man, very elderly man. He was talking to about the greatness of supporting Torah institutions, about giving money to Torah institutions and supporting Torah scholars. And he's speaking to him for a long time, getting him all revved up about this idea and about how great it is for Chule. And after this inordinate amount of time, his Talmud, who's listening to this, says to him, is this man very wealthy that he's going to donate so much money to a Torah institution and build the yeshiva? He says, no. Is he wealthy that he's going to support Torah scholars? No, I don't think he has any money. So then what were you doing spending so much time trying to convince him to be able to support? He says, this man is one foot into the next world. I want him to be able to say that even though he didn't support Torah scholars in a Torah institution, that at least he had the desire. I wanted him to come to the level of, I wish I had the money to support your programs. It sounds so wonderful. Just even working to get someone to that level of desire, that's a step, my friends. And that's the responsibility that we have. That's what the Torah is eternal. Taking us out of Siflos Mitzrayim. My friends, this is our work. This is the Siyata Deshmaya we have to daven for. To ask ourselves what part of this culture we need to separate ourselves from. And that's the first stage of being able to move toward a level of Geula nationally and individually. And second of all, what part of our Torah lifestyle is by rote where we're just complacent and apathetic, where I daven, you know, at 50 the same way I did at 15, where I haven't moved at any level in my life. I'm just going year after year, and I'm going through the motions, and I ask Hashem, and then I just drop it. And we have to be able to listen to our tefillahs, listen to our goals, listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has as a vision for us, and ask ourselves, what is our vision for ourselves? To be able to draw, not just Rosh Hashanah time, but Kislev Teve time. What are the visions that we have that we can be a person of greatness? And when we, and this is the time, Va'era of Shovavim, of times of being able to do tshuva, when we move to that level of I want to be, I yearn to be, tshuva banim shovavim, that's the time that we have begun to do the tshuva process. And once the desire is in place, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a siyata deshmaya if we're open to indeed move from level to level, from drop to drop, to indeed have that close relationship, that dveikus, to the Ribbono Shel Olam.